Well, I'm calling our teaching today. We are called outside. We are called outside. And I'm taking this from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. And he says, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." So the Lord is saying here, which he is quoting from Isaiah 52 verse 1, that to have fellowship with him and to experience God's presence, we have to have our hearts changed with regard to our affections toward this world. Because he's holy. This is what he's introducing. He's other and different to us in the sense that he is holy. He cannot have anything unclean, defiled in front of him. So, like he does, he provides the way withal in which we can walk a consecrated life unto him. This is why you have to be born again from above by the Spirit in order to be able to be brought into the very presence of God through Jesus Christ. You see, it's interesting that Jesus was crucified outside the city. And the reason being is that all those that were crucified or executed could never be executed in the city because it was regarded as a holy city, consecrated to God. It's after the holiest of holies, in which the high priest went in once a year, of which to atone. Nobody else could enter into that holy place in the temple. So it's also a similar principle with Jerusalem. It was considered to be a holy city. And indeed, it is a holy city. It is a city today of controversy. The powers of darkness are trying to defile Jerusalem, the holy city. This is why we have the wars that we have. Because we're dealing with the holiness of God, aware Christ is going to come and rule and reign at the second advent. And it means then that certain things shouldn't be done in the city, certainly not killing and slaughtering and executing, all which are an abomination before God. Everything that is impure should be done outside the city. So that is why Jesus was crucified and taken out of the city. He couldn't be crucified. And yet, at his second advent, he has access into the holy city because that is where his government will be. And it's interesting how we see these parallels when we study scripture with regard to this. You see, God's presence, as we know, was visual amongst his people. His presence was visual with Moses, who went up on Mount Sinai. They couldn't come near the holy mount, but they stood afar off and saw the glory of the Lord there. Even sacrifices had to be taken outside the camp to be offered. They weren't allowed to be slaughtered in the holy place, in Jerusalem. So it reveals how important sin was and those who were unclean had to be removed. Even today, Jews are buried outside Jerusalem. You get no burial in Jerusalem itself. It's all outside. And so Jesus was taken outside the city. Let's turn to John 19 and verse 17. John 19 and verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, two others with him on either side, and Jesus in the center. And now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. So there it's very clear how he is a type of sacrifice, which he was. And so it resembles the sacrifices of the Old Testament, where they could not sacrifice in the holy city itself. It was done outside. And it goes on in verse 20, then many of the Jews read this title, and the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write King of the Jews, but he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to each soldier apart, and also the tunic. And the tunic was without seam, woven from the top to one piece, which indicates that what our Lord was wearing was a very expensive garment. Wasn't rubbish. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. And the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided his garments among them. For my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. And then it goes on about how they stood afar off and his mother and so on. So this all again, as we are showing you, was outside the city. And this is why we're called outside. This is why God has placed on us that we come away from that which is defiled and unclean. This is why God brought some of us out of denominationalism, Catholicism. It's a counterfeit. It's harlotry. It's unclean. We didn't know a lot of that then in those days, other than the fact that you knew in your heart you couldn't fellowship with a lot of these believers. They weren't even that interested in the Word of God. They were religious, went through the rituals, but there was no life change. And the Lord begins to open the eyes that you can't dwell amongst these people. So Jesus was clearly cast outside the city. It's interesting that with regard to the house of God, Jesus, he cast out the moneylenders and he called them a den of robbers. He was angry. What was he doing there? He was showing that the house of God is holy. It is a separate place for God's people. That's why it's called the called out ones, or the ecclesia, which means the separated ones. That's what church means, separated from the world. It is a meeting separate for God to inhabit, to dwell with his people. and that we do now by faith. We worship God in spirit and in truth. That's why you see separation is a commitment to godly behaviour. It's interesting when you read in the book of Daniel, Daniel was invited into the king's apartment to dine with them, a royal banquet, but he refused. He refused the royal food and wine. And it was based on revelation that he had learnt from the Mosaic law. So he wouldn't eat or drink with them. He was separate. This is why we're called and we go the way of the cross, that we don't gratify the things of the flesh. There are many who say that we shouldn't touch alcohol or anything like that. Well, there is nothing that says that in the New Testament. It is very, very clear the dangers of having too much of it. And if you have a problem with it, then it's best not to touch it. Same with food, glutton, excess. There's a lot of excess today with food. There's so many food programs and so on. And it's all people trying to eat out now. All of this is increased to what it used to be. It's all excess. And it doesn't mean say we can't go to a restaurant or whatever it is. You know, the Christian walk is about balance. And we don't seem as a society to be balanced now these days, as so many people say common sense has gone out of the window. And there's a lot of truth to that. It's excessive. It's either one thing or the other. We certainly are to abstain from evil. Any forms of evil. What does it say in 1 Thessalonians 5:22? 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from every form of evil. So that's what he says. Anything that looks evil. Bad company. How we even dress. How we conduct ourselves. All of this, God wants modesty from us. We need to be wise, wisdom, where we go, who we meet, or when we get invites occasionally. We ask God, give me wisdom, guidance, give me the words, help me how to conduct myself that gives glory to you. We know that there are many, many Christians who believe that Sunday is still the Sabbath and that you're to separate, abstain from things on the Sabbath. Well, we know for us as Christians, Sunday is every day, but there are still Christians who believe these things, Christmas and Easter, and celebrate them. But we're not to make a fuss of it. Or bang them over the head with the word of God. Let our lives be an example to these people. What does Romans 14? Romans 14 and verse 5. Romans 14 and verse 5. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. So it's what convinces us as we learn the scriptures, working on our minds, so it influences, it shows us we're not bound by any of these special days. Every day is special now for those who walk in the Spirit, Romans 8. But there are some who don't walk like that. Yet they know the Lord, they love the Lord, and we're not to judge them, but to let our light shine. We're, in other words, to be those examples. This is where we grow up in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. We don't yoke ourselves with the world and unbelievers. I know we're in the world. We see unbelievers every day at work or whatever we do, but we don't yoke ourselves to them. The same with marriage. You marry another believer. You become one together. Not marrying an unbeliever, it doesn't work. Light and darkness doesn't mix. It's the same with our teaching. We don't tolerate false doctrines, heresy. This is all part of being called outside, being separate to God. For example, something that John revealed in one of the churches in Revelation chapter 2, verses 14 to 15, the church at Pergamos. This was one of the criticisms against this church. And he says, but I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to be a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Thus also you have those who hold the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly. So this church at Pergamos was entertaining heresy, was compromising with the word. As I've said, we're called an assembly, an ecclesia. It means a called out people. Our gathering is actually an assembly called out unto the Lord. We separate from immorality, people who have immoral lives, unclean lives, rebellion, those of greed, people who deceive, are deceptive, those in fraud, gambling, idolaters, all of this, we have nothing in common with them. We can't be yoked to people like that, because God has called us to holiness. Why is this so important? Because we're called to be lights in this world. And if we allow the world to put out that light in us, which it will do, then we no longer have that light in us. We're not an example. For example, let's see what Jesus says. We know well in Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. 14 to 16 of Matthew 5. Actually, take it from verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavour, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. But you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So there we are. Light can only shine when we are sanctified, separated unto God, unto holiness. It is a light to the world. We don't always see it, but it is, because people watch. Why is it a light? Because there's darkness in people. They are blinded. Their father is the devil. And the light in you exposes that darkness in them. And that's why some will respond. They will see that. What are they seeing? They're seeing that you are called out of the city. You don't go along with the world's views and ways. You're set apart. You're not a part of it, although you're in it. But your heart and affections are not in it. We know the story so well, don't we, of Lot and his family called out from Sodom, Gomorrah, those cities. They were defiled, unclean. Oh, there was culture there, education, but it was unclean before God, and God hailed down fire and brimstone. And we know the story of Lot's wife, she turned back. And the reason she did, because her heart was still there, the affection. She had not learnt separation unto God. We have to let God do this. Jesus often prayed outside the city. When he prayed all night sometimes. The temple was no longer holy. It was defiled. Israel was 400 years without a prophet and teacher. And all their teachers were the Pharisees, teaching them religion. But we know that God will restore, and that's why we're in the times of restoration. And part of restoration, as I bring this to a conclusion, is God restoring a holy, sanctified, separated people unto himself. Revelation 21 and verse 2. Revelation 21 and verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. There we are. And let's go on with that. And I heard a loud voice from heaven say, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men and will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. God will wipe away every tear from every eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. God is going to again dwell with man. But look at the journey we are on, in which to be prepared for that, to be sanctified, cleansed, clean, washed by the word of God. You don't just enter into God's presence. We have to be helped, nurtured. We have to be prepared. We have to be worked upon, cleansed, believing for the presence of God, because otherwise you will burn up. But here is a wonderful analogy that everything will be handed back and God will dwell and tabernacle again with man. And there will be peace and harmony, because he says death, pain, tears will all pass away. Isn't that wonderful? What a great future we have that is set before us. Let this really sink into our hearts and spirit. Let this continue to cleanse us and separate us, that we may be acceptable and perfect in his sight. Because this is the work of the Holy Spirit, and this is why the baptism of the Spirit is so essential, to be empowered that this work will be done with us. Because God is cleaning up each of us. All of those who are going on in business with God, not just FGA, but many others, we're all being cleansed, separated, worked upon, ready for that day when God again dwells with man in peace. And nothing separating that fellowship. It will be an eternal fellowship. So we have so much set before us, brothers and sisters. And that's why we are called outside the city. That's where we are at the moment. That's where Jesus was crucified. That is where we take up our cross each day and follow the Lord. But one day, the world will see us all back in the holies of holies with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they will all bow down and worship and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord.